Welcome to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders who impact our community. Now, the recipient of three First Place Virginia Association of Broadcasters Awards and the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. That's our focus this morning with members of the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Second Lieutenant Lee Peters here, Deputy Mike Powell, and Deputy Walter O'Neill, along with Bill Kennedy, the Public Information Officer for the Stafford County Sheriff's Office. Guys, good morning. Great to have you here.
Good morning.
This is an issue, distracted driving, something we all hear about. We all are guilty at some point of doing a lot of this. We're going to talk about what the law is and just some of the problems associated with it. I guess when we first talk about distracted driving, and I'll open this up to all of you or any of you that want to talk about it, texting is probably the one that we're the most guilty of and probably we hear the most problems about.
Well, that's true. There is a big problem with just cell phone use in general. The law is very specific on texting and the use of cell phones and hands-free kits, but our mission here is to get people to focus on the road and focus on driving. So when we talk about distracted driving, we talk about everything from having too many people in the vehicle, the radio, youth drivers, things of that nature. So it becomes an issue of distraction from everywhere inside the vehicle.
Second Lieutenant Lee Peters of the Stafford Sheriff's Office. And that's interesting when you talk about too many people in the vehicle or radio, that kind of thing, because we often don't think about that, but it's easy to get distracted. You get a bunch of people in the car, and you all start talking, and suddenly the driver cannot be paying attention to something in front.
Absolutely. The passengers, actually, they start interacting or interfering with your cognitive skills when you're driving. It takes your mind off your driving. You're focused on your conversation. You might be focused on the kids in the back seat. But it's anything that takes your mind off of what you're actually doing when you're driving. When you're driving, you should be focused on driving, you know, the cars in front of you, especially in this area with traffic getting, you know, a lot worse with the Hot Lanes project being completed and the other construction projects that are underway. Drivers have to pay attention in these conditions or in all conditions for that fact.
Yeah, traveling this year, last year, there were more than 24,000 crashes because of distracted driving, and approximately 163 deaths were attributed just to distracted driving. And as Deputy O'Neill said, it could be anything from adjusting your seat or looking at your GPS or talking to passengers.
Even eating in the car.
You
drop something and you just think, I don't want that piece of pepperoni down there, and before you know it, the car in front of you has slowed down and you haven't compensated for that.
Exactly. I've seen drivers actually driving down the street eating Subway sandwiches before. That's interesting to see. I don't know how they did that one, but we stopped and had a conversation about it. So
when you see that kind of thing, can you pull someone over?
Oh, absolutely.
See something doing that?
Here in Stafford County, we actually have a new county code, 15-126, for failing to pay full-time attention. And the code simply says that if you're driving a motor vehicle, you have to pay full-time attention while you're operating that motor vehicle. So that covers changing your radio station, eating that Subway footlong. It covers everything when you're not paying attention while you're driving on the roadways.
Well, and I guess the law for younger drivers, they're limited in how many people they can have in a car when a person first gets their learner's permit.
Right. When they have a provisional license, and in Virginia, a provisional license is anybody who has a driver's license under the age of 18, there are a whole bunch of restrictions from how many people they can have in a vehicle, and it actually says on their driver's license they can't use a cell phone until they're 18. I mean, it really restricts what they can and can't do and what they're supposed to be doing. Because Deputy O'Neill and I, we do a brief every month with the new drivers that are getting their driver's license, getting ready to go through the driver's ed program, and we tell them the specifics of what they can and can't do, and we try and educate mom and dad as well on what you can and can't have your child do. Because sometimes, as Deputy O'Neill points out, it's the parents who are putting the children in a precarious predicament on driving. You know, they're sending them to get their little brother, they're sending them here, they're sending them there, yeah, and they're setting them up for failure. So the progressive license is designed to teach them to drive first and then to get in the rest of those things later in life when they have some experience. Is driver inexperience, and you couple that with distracted driving, that does have very serious consequences on the roadway.
One of the emphasis we're doing this month, Ted, is the texting and driving. That's now a primary offense, and these guys can talk about that. But we start our programs off with an education component where we put news releases out, message boards, just to inform the public and staff that this is what we're doing, this is what we're emphasizing this particular time period, which is this month is texting and driving. And our hope, Ted, is really to educate folks, to let them know that what's going on, and there's going to be some increased enforcement in this area. Our goal, candidly, is if we educate our public enough, our goal is to not to have to cite anybody for any of these violations. Mm-hmm. So that's really what you're after. And your education component's first. A lot of that goes on, and these deputies here are responsible for that, and then we get into the enforcement section. But these guys can talk more about, you know, what the specific laws are for texting.
Yeah, although the texting and driving is a secondary offense, usually there's always something coupled with that, whereas somebody sitting at a traffic light, not moving when the light's green, or drifting off the roadway, or driving too fast. We see a lot of people that are too busy talking on their phone mm-hmm. that are driving too fast because they're not paying attention. The first offense for texting while driving is a $125 fine, and all subsequent offenses after that is a $250 fine.
And just to make it a little more clear, texting is now a primary offense. Last year, they passed down in Richmond that texting is a primary offense here in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
So you can pull someone over.
Absolutely.
If you see them texting.
If we see somebody texting on their phone, or even what looks to be texting on their phone, law enforcement can initiate a traffic stop and at the very least have a conversation with that driver. And as Mr. Kennedy pointed out, you know, we'd rather not issue folks a summons for these offenses. But we do what we have to do in order to keep the driver and everybody, for that matter, on the roadway safe and get to where they're going safely.
One of the situations that I hear and people ask me about, and I often wonder about, what do you do with a person who's sitting at the light and they're not moving? They're waiting for the light to turn, and they want to answer that text.
Yeah, at that point, like Deputy Powell pointed out, we've got another violation. Essentially, they are impeding the flow of traffic.
Yeah.
If you've got five or six cars waiting for that green light, they're impeding the flow of traffic. So that gives us the opportunity to conduct a traffic stop on that vehicle and have a conversation with the driver to find out exactly what's going on.
When you have that conversation, and a lot of times I'm assuming at least for the first time, you do just have a conversation and just say, you know, hey, here's the thing. Does that get people's attention?
For the most part, yes. All of the folks that I've stopped so far with this new code section, that's exactly what it's been, is a conversation. Surprisingly, and we'll share this with the listening public, texting and driving is a really hard offense for us to enforce mm-hmm. because of the way the code section is currently written. It does say that you can't manually enter text or numbers, check email, or even read these things. But a lot of times what you get when we stop these vehicles is folks will be, you know, looking for a phone number or trying to enter something into their GPS, which by the code they are allowed to do. So it does kind of take away some of the things that we're able to do at that particular moment, which is why it turns into a conversation and an opportunity to educate that driver on the distractions of even trying to look for that phone number or trying to put that address into the GPS.
I want to talk to you in the next segment. We'll talk about GPSs because that's a whole other thing. We talk about being distracted, but I do want to get into that. I know in some cases I've gotten to the point where just instead of it, so I'm not tempted by it, I put the phone in the put it in the back seat or don't have it in my pocket so I can hear it vibrate or. Don't have it anywhere. Put it in the trunk if you have to.
Well, that's all good information. I mean, we try and get people to put those things down, turn them off, just drive for however long they need to drive and focus on that. But going back to the point Deputy O'Neill was making, you know, a lot of the conversations we have and the traffic stops that we have are based on other driving behavior. And one of the things that we're seeing in law enforcement is, especially during, you know, DUI peak months and when we're trying to find drunk drivers, is 9 out of 10 people we stop that we suspect are impaired or are driving like they're impaired are actually texting.
Yeah.
And there was – I remember one specifically in December where I just knew this guy was impaired because, you know, he was missing mailboxes by inches and all over the road. And I said, okay, well, this is going to be a good stop. And I stopped him and I walk up there and he's got his phone in his hand and he's frantically trying to get a number. He's lost. He's going between texting and his GPS. And
yeah.
Like, my man, what's going on here? I'm lost. Okay, so we get into that a lot, and the driving behavior really dictates the conversation we're going to have. If it's something simple where you forgot to go or the green light was green and you missed that, that's a very simple conversation. But when your behavior becomes in the category of reckless driving because of the texting, then the conversation stops and the enforcement usually starts.
Well, and it, unfortunately, we've seen the tragic cases of people, joggers on some of these narrow roads. There have been just tragic cases of that. And if you're not paying attention, those kind of things happen.
Oh, yeah. Accidents happen in fractions of a second. And distracted driving, just like the lieutenant was saying, you know, it's the same behavior as being impaired. You're 23 times more likely to have a crash if you're texting and driving. So it's the same numbers that we're looking at when we're talking about driving impaired.
And Deputy O'Neill, you touched on it when you said it's not easy for law enforcement because it really in just a split second, you have to make the decision what's going on there.
Absolutely. A lot of the times, most of us ride the motorcycle. So that gives us a different vantage point looking into the vehicles when you're riding down the road. You can see inside the vehicle a little bit more, and you can see those thumbs moving. So, you know, there's no question in our mind, at least from our side of the conversation here, what's going on inside that vehicle. But, you know, at the Stafford Sheriff's Office, we're big on education. That's really our number one focus. Mm-hmm. And like the lieutenant said, if we do have to end up giving you that lovely parting gift, then, you know, that's what we're going to do.
We're talking about distracted driving. This is a Distracted Driving Awareness Month. Deputy Walter O'Neill there. Also Deputy Mike Powell here. Second Lieutenant Lee Peters and Bill Kennedy, the Public Information Officer for the Stafford Sheriff's Office. More coming up this morning on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Distracted driving, our focus this morning with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Bill Kennedy, the Public Information Officer here, along with Second Lieutenant Lee Peters, Deputy Mike Powell, and Deputy Walter O'Neill. We've been talking about texting and driving, and One of the things that can be a distraction, and Deputy O'Neill, you touched on it, was GPSs, and some of these apps that are out there have a lot of information on it. A lot of it isn't spoken, and so it's easy to start getting caught up in what a GPS is telling you.
Absolutely. By definition or by code, the code section does allow drivers to still manipulate their GPS. If they haven't, and as you were mentioning, the different apps that are out there to show you, you know, traffic patterns, the apps that are out there that are showing you where police activity might be, those things also become a distraction. They take your mind off of what it is that you are doing at the time when you're driving,
yep.
When your focus needs to be on driving. So if you're going to use those devices, it's our suggestion, law enforcement across the nation, it's our suggestion that you pull over to the side. Wait until you are lawfully stopped. Wait until you're at that red light and that the vehicle is stopped and you're safe to do so before you start manipulating those applications on your phone to get the information that you need to get you to where you're going.
That's a good idea. And instead of trying to manipulate everything and change something or read something while you're driving, just pull over.
Yeah. And with April being Distracted Driving Awareness Month, even though we're at the end of April, law enforcement is stepping up its presence out there on the roadways, looking for those distracted drivers, again, to make sure everybody is getting to where they're supposed to be safely.
I don't know if you can comment on this, but just the fact that the Waze app that tells you police activity, I've never understood how that's legal in Virginia when you can't have a radar.
I'm not sure either. Maybe the lieutenant might have some more information.
Applications are basically from what we're being taught and told, an extension of the First Amendment. I mean, it's not illegal to say where the police are or to update our location. It's actually what people don't understand sometimes is sometimes that works to our advantage. If people say, well, the police are here, it gains compliance, people slow down, mm-hmm. Cell phones start to magically morph back in people's pockets, and compliance is gained, and there's education. So when that happens, and people know where we are. I mean, it's no secret. We put a car out there in high profile areas with a big billboard that says Sheriff Light Bar and a good looking deputy like him in there, and it really does have a good effect. So sometimes those apps have an unwanted effect to them, but for us it proves a point. I mean, it gains compliance. So you can use them. People use them all the time. They update our locations. They say where we are. They also update crashes. They update incidents on the highway. So they're doing a lot of good work,
yep.
That we don't have to do. And generally, what we're doing the same things on our social media. You know, if there's a crash, then Mr. Kennedy will put it out and tell people, hey, avoid this area, do this, that, or other. And it really has a good effect. So we don't really have an opinion on them. We're not the people you can't use it. And it's really helping us in certain ways that people really just don't understand.
Yeah. Deputy Powell, you mentioned a few minutes ago about when the light changes and you're still sitting there. We've all dealt with that, and you're having to hit the horn to get the person to move. A lot of times, I know, when I'll be following somebody, especially on a two-lane road, or you're on a road where you can't turn or you can't get around a car and it's going super slow, when you do finally get around, oftentimes you see them talking with the Bluetooth or with they're holding a phone. And I guess there are a lot of things when you're out on the road you can see when people are distracted and not paying full attention just by how they're driving.
Yeah, definitely. It's been proven now that even the wireless headsets does not take is still distracting because their people are paying more attention to the conversation than they are to the roadways, and they start driving slow. And in some cases, they'll start speeding up. As we know, on some of the back roads, especially here in Stafford County, there's no room for mistake whatsoever. Yeah. You have a matter of inches before you're off into the ditch line, whereas on a main road, at least it's paved on the sides.
And that's interesting because you do hear a lot of people say, well, I'm a safe driver and I can talk on the phone. I don't have other people in the car and I'm talking with my Bluetooth, so I'm fine. But it's still you're not paying full attention.
Well, the reality is you're right. The people don't even realize what they're doing. When they're talking on the phone, it's sometimes, like you said, an automatic reaction just to slow down or speed up. They don't realize what's going on. They have no idea until they're either notified or all of a sudden they get off the phone and realize, oh, geez, I'm going 35 and a 45. So yeah. that's a good point, Ted.
Yeah, yeah. Or notice that it now, if you're staying, if you're at a stoplight, it's a good idea to just pause a couple of seconds and look both ways before you advance through, just because of that. People are going through lights.
But I think what you mentioned earlier, I think the LT did as well, that, you know, the best thing is when you get in the car, and it's hard, it's really hard, but turn your phone off, put it in the glove compartment. You know, we're in a society now where you have to get immediate gratification on conversations or whatever, and unfortunately that's part of the reason why we have some difficulties with the driving. But if you put it away, there's no conversation worth risking your life or risking other lives on the road. So just put it away, turn it off, enjoy the drive. This time of year, it's a great drive, especially in Stafford County, a lot of back roads. It's real pretty. Take your time and enjoy it.
Yep.
Also very specific for young adults in the provisional license category that they can't use a cell phone, whether it's hands-free or not.
Okay.
So they are restricted from using anything at any time for any reason while they're operating. And the only exception to that is emergencies. And, you know, we always have the conversation, you know, I had a 16-year-old girl, and what's an emergency to a 16-year-old girl? So parents really have to have a candid conversation about what an emergency is and when they should be using that phone. We go through it all the time, and we'll see young people who are, you know, after their first year of driving, they know pretty much everything, so it's hard to really communicate with them. But it's incumbent upon the parents, and we encourage them, have daily conversations with your kids. You know, tell them, no speeding, seatbelt, no cell phone. You know, if something happens, you need to stop and call from there. So that's one of the big differences between adults and juveniles.
We're going to get into prom and graduation tips as we go along a little bit later this morning. But I know it is – when you talk about talking to kids, I know when my son, my youngest son, finally got his license, we said, you know, only you in the car. We don't want you using the radio, and we don't want you using the phone. And then I learned I needed to start – using the seatbelt all the time because I'm running over to Food Lion and not putting it on, thinking that's just a mile away. And I see him not doing it. And he's, well, you don't do it, Dad.
That's one of the fun conversations that we have with the parents is when you stand there and you have the parent look at their child and you say, just take a look at your child for a minute. Now look back at me and think about that's your DNA sitting there. So a lot of the things that you're doing or have done, your child is probably going to do. And then look at your driving habits now. And you ask the crowd, you know, how many of you have used your cell phone on the way here? And most of the parents look down, and they start looking away from their child and won't look me in the eye. And then we say, how many of you have not worn your seatbelt in the last week? And then the answer's up in the sky somewhere, and they're looking around. And it gets really uncomfortable. But we say, you know, you have to do these things. And you know, as parents, we have an obligation to tell our children what we expect, and we also have an obligation to show them what we want them to do. And it's really hard in our profession. You know, our cars are full of distractions, and let's be honest, we are some of the most distracted people on the roadway. But then again, we are very well trained, and the code exempts us from a lot of different things that we do. We also try not to do it because we know how it appears to the public, and we want to make sure that, you know, when we're doing our job, we're doing it as safely as possible. But again, we have to understand our perception, and we have to give that message to our children and everyone else on the road that, hey, let's concentrate on driving for a while.
And Ted, you brought up a couple of interesting points that I wanted to kind of reiterate on. First off, you have that conversation with your kids. That's probably one of the most important aspects of what we're talking about today, is especially with teen drivers, parents are responsible for their teens. So the conversations that you have with them, the earlier that you have them and the more often that you have them, the better that is for them. And then the second thing that you brought up is leading by example. You know, you mentioned that, you know, not wearing your seatbelt even a mile away from your house. Statistically speaking, crashes happen the closer you are to home. Whether you're just leaving the house or whether you're, you know, coming home, the closer mm-hmm. you get to home, the more likely you are to have a crash. So even, you know, going around the corner or going across the parking lot to the next store, it's important that you wear your seatbelt and have those conversations and make sure that your teen driver is doing the same thing. For the parents out there who've had their teens driving for a little while now and they haven't been in the car with them, we always suggest, you know, take that ride with them to double check to see how they're driving at this point. Because the more you drive, the more confidence you get. So the faster your teen driver starts to go, the more they start to pay attention to those different distractions, you know, changing the radio, maybe picking up that phone for a quick text while sitting at a traffic light. So those conversations and those examples that the parents can set, the sooner the better.
Now, I found that coming to a complete stop at a stop sign was important because, it like you said, I've ridden with my son, and we've got about a quarter mile before there's a stop sign in our road. He would be going 35, 40 miles an hour to get up there, and I would just say, you know, hey, back it off.
Right.
But then we get to the stop sign, and he's not stopping fully, and I said, you need to come to a complete stop. And he was like, Dad, you don't do that.
Yeah.
And so that kind of stuff, it's a good reminder.
One of the things that is important when the young folks first get their license, and I'm going to ask Deputy Powell to jump in here on this one, is when the judge handles the license to them, you know, the youth has the license, they make it pretty clear that this license belongs to the parent. The parent has and the lieutenant talked about responsibility as a parent. If things aren't going, you have a right, correct me if I'm wrong, Deputy Powell, you can jump in here, that they can take the license.
Exactly, and there's a form that a parent can fill out and submit that license back to DMV, and they'll lose it until they're 18 years old.
That'll get somebody's attention.
We encourage parents, you know, if your young person under the age of 18 has done anything, from failing to wash the dishes, comes home late, doesn't do the laundry, take the license from them. Because part of that is responsibility. It's if they're not responsible at home, and it's a very keen conversation that we have with parents, is if your child is not responsible at home, how do you expect them to be responsible in a car? This mm-hmm. is their first real endeavor into adulthood. It's their first real issue with responsibility. So if they're not ready to drive, you have to be able to tell your child, you're just not ready yet. It's not for you right now. Because you look at statistics and you say there's approximately 91,800 drivers just in Stafford County alone. Do you want to throw your child to those wolves? And are they ready to handle that responsibility? And if you look around high schools and look at some children and, you know, well, mine being one of them, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you really prepared to do this? And then you get into, if something happens, are they mature enough to handle it and get through it without completely collapsing? And it's very traumatic. I mean, when they get stopped by the police, it's not a pleasant experience. Yep. From there, I mean, we try and make it as pleasant as possible, but for them, it's a very stressful incident. If they have a crash, it's going to be very traumatic, whether they're injured or not. It's a very traumatic experience. So if a glass of milk sets your child off when it falls to the ground, you know, what's going to happen behind the wheel of a car? So it's just very, very candid conversations that we have to have with our children about driving and the amount of responsibility that it takes to be able to do that properly.
Second Lieutenant Lee Peters here, Deputy Mike Powell, Deputy Walter O'Neill, and Bill Kennedy from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 833.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Voice it now on Facebook. Search News Talk 1230 WFVA and place your comments now. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Distracted driving, our focus this morning with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Bill Kennedy here along with Second Lieutenant Lee Peters, Deputy Mike Powell, and Deputy Walter O'Neill. Before we leave distracted driving behind, there is a program that Stafford's involved in, Deputy O'Neill, the Survive the Drive.
Yeah, the Survive the Drive campaign is really the label that the Stafford Sheriff's Office uses for the entire traffic safety campaign that we use throughout the year. And that includes, you know, the Click It or Ticket campaign that folks are about to see the commercial for. That would start next month. We use that for the DUI enforcement when that swing comes around. But every program that we use here in the Stafford Sheriff's Office here in Stafford County is under that Survive the Drive campaign. And that it does exactly what it says, is we want folks to survive the drive and arrive alive to where they're going or when they're coming back to get to where they're going safely.
I can't remember the statistics, but I've heard that somebody's done some statistics that a lot of times when there's distracted driving, that it gets similar to what when a person has been drinking and driving.
Yeah, you're 23 times more likely to have a crash when you're distracted or when you're impaired. And teen drivers are actually 4 times more likely to have a crash. So you take that 23 times and you increase that by that 4 times for teen drivers, and it becomes, you know, that much more dangerous for younger drivers.
A lot of the complaints that we get from the citizens, we get phone calls, and somebody will say that they believe somebody's impaired. There's a drunk driver someplace, and it's amazing how many times we find the person, we see the driving behavior, we make a traffic stop, and it is something that's just distracted, whether it's cell phone or conversation going on, or just something that's taking their mind off the wheel. So it is very comparable, and it's getting to be just as deadly as a drunk driving is getting.
It's funny now. Any time you hear of a serious accident, your first question, and one of the times when the police reports come out, when you put out police reports, sometimes it used to always be whether it was either speeding or alcohol, and now You start wondering, was it distracted driving? And then that's mentioned if that's the case.
Or you look at it, was it a combination? And then it was speed, alcohol, and they added a cell phone.
Yeah.
So when you add all three of them, you wonder how people are getting anywhere without crashing these days.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we talk about how it happens in the blink of an eye, if you're traveling 55 miles an hour, just 4 seconds of not paying attention, you've traveled more than the length of a football field.
And what's scary is when you are on I-95 and you pass somebody and you see them doing, you know, eating a sub or having an iPad down there, you know, they're glancing at that. They're just things there that scare you.
Oh yeah, there's anything that's going to take your mind off of driving, whether you're, you know, looking at your iPad, which I've seen people somehow attach their iPad to their steering wheel.
Yeah.
And they're going down the road. I've seen folks reading books. I've seen folks looking at their MapQuest directions. Again, I mentioned the Subway footlong story earlier. But anything that's taking your mind off the road, something as simple as changing your radio station while you're moving. And like Deputy Powell said, 55 miles an hour, which is easily done in the roadways here in the Fredericksburg area, you've traveled the length of a football field in seconds.
So one of the things we like to add to that, to every program that we do and every educational opportunity we get, is when you start adding speed, distracted driving, impaired driving, we always like to talk about the public safety workers on the sides of the road and the move over law in Virginia. Because one of those things that we like to do is tell people, we're out there working, the fire department's out there working,
yeah.
VDOT's working, tow truck drivers are working, and there's a law in Virginia that says that you must move over or slow down when you're approaching emergency vehicles, vehicles with yellow lights, red lights, blue lights on the side of the road. And one of the things that we like to do is just bring the human side to it is, you know, we all have families we want to get home to every night, just like everyone else in the world. So when people are distracted or they're impaired or they're speeding and they're not moving over, they're not only endangering themselves, but they're endangering us and the rest of public safety as well. So whenever we do these talks and we talk to people, we like to make sure that they remember that law. It is a law. You must move over if there's more than one lane. You must slow down. Just give us a little bit of room to work, because if we stopped another distracted driver, the worst thing in the world is to get hit by another distracted driver. And if you look across the state, a lot of state police officers and a lot of county officers and police cars have been damaged, and officers have been sent to the hospital and to the morgue because they've been hit while doing their job on the side of the road. So we just ask everybody, if you see those lights, please slow down, move over, give us some room, and let's everybody get home at the end of the day safely, and that's really our goal here.
Yeah, there have been a couple cases this year, a few months ago up in Northern Virginia, where that would happen all too often. I know a few years ago, VDOT did a press conference, and we did it on the side of the road, and it was terrifying. And I go by you guys now and see law enforcement on the side of the road and think, hey, that it's got to be dangerous and a little bit scary at times.
It is a lot of bit scary, as a matter of fact. I mean, if you're standing on the side of the road and someone goes past you at 65, 70 miles per hour and they haven't moved over, and you get that breeze of a mirror going across your backside of your hat and you get that gust of wind, it does send chills down your spine. So we ask the people, just move over a little bit, slow down for us, and help us get home safely.
We are approaching prom and graduation season, and we start talking about kids and driving. I know this has got to be a time of concern, just because of teens and driving and graduation parties, prom, all kinds of distractions, and the chance of tragedy on the roads.
In the past years, I did do some talks outside of Stafford County because I had children in King George, where I went to the high schools and I did a presentation, and I utilized pictures that came from students there so that they realized it was a very personal thing and how not to start drinking while they're during the prom and to be conscious of their driving. And some schools have them, not necessarily at the school, but off school property at other venues, and that's the same with Stafford this year. I think some of our proms are at other venues, but the same school rules apply. They need to be aware of their surroundings. They need to drive safely, and obviously no drinking.
Well, and we've talked, Mike, about having parents talk with their kids about driving in general. Prom and graduation, you probably need to sit your kids down and really talk about some rules and enforce some rules.
Exactly. And it's probably a safer bet that if you arrange a ride for them so that you don't have to worry about them driving and you know, go ahead and rent that limo or helicopter, whatever means you need to get them there. But I'm sure the children would appreciate it. But, yeah, they're probably a safer bet if they have transportation there in a way.
You know, Ted, the sheriff's office is real sensitive to the fact that particularly graduation is a wonderful time of year for families, not just for the kids who are graduating, for the parents, relatives, and we're sensitive to that. We want to make sure that every child, every family has an enjoyable experience. And they can have it even more enjoyable by just simply, you know, common sense, obeying the common law. You know, you don't drink and drive, you don't text and drive, those type of things. That way you're going to have a really fulfilling and enjoyable graduation session with the entire family. So it's just common sense stuff. And, you know, parents, as Lee said, was earlier on, that they have responsibility to set that tone when graduation comes. We're going to have a great time. But, you know, like Lee said, or Deputy Powell said, you know, get transportation if you want. But, you know, the laws are still there. You don't drink and drive. And teens, you can't drink. So that's part of the package as well. But graduation time, they're excited. They're having a great time. They're, you know, they leave the graduation site. And, you know, they're really pumped up, and they should be. They should be. It's a huge day in their life. But just remember that, you know, the same laws apply, you know, the same amount of occupants in the vehicle, that type of thing. Common sense stuff, put the phone away, and have a great time. We have a lot of law enforcement presence at all the graduation sites, one to control traffic and the others, but also helps remind folks when they're leaving, hey, you know, take your time, be cool, get to the family, get to your party, have a good time, but just use common sense and obey the laws.
Well, there's nothing wrong with a legal prom party. You know, we see the kids, and those of us that are parents, we've seen our kids go off to prom, and we've watched them, you know, probably shed a tear and wished them good luck and told them to have fun. As long as it's done legally and appropriately, we have no problem with that, and we encourage it. I mean, it's one of those rites of passages. We just want them to do it responsibly and legally, and that's the end of the day right there, is just make sure they get home safe.
And that being the key, and I know you don't like to have to pull people over, but I guess when you do, you hope that you're saving them from being one of the statistics. Or I mean, we every year, unfortunately, just have these tragic stories. And Bill, you mentioned graduation of students that are leaving graduation, and something happens.
Yeah, fortunately, and we can all kind of tip our hats to this. Stafford County has been fortunate. Over the last several years, and hopefully, you know, we're not jinxing ourselves here, we have had zero teen deaths in Stafford County. Zero, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
To the sheriff's office. And that's just, we can say that because the programs that we have in place, the deputies that are out there, the sheriff's attitude towards driving in general for all people here in Stafford County or folks driving through Stafford County. We can attribute that number to those programs and to the community paying attention to what it is that we're saying and taking their time. And especially now with traffic, you know, like I said, the hot lanes, you know, that traffic is now sitting in Stafford County. So with that, with the increased number of motorists here in Stafford County, you're going to see an increase in crashes. You're going to see that increase in traffic. And we're just asking folks to be patient. That's really the biggest thing that we're talking about here is patience. Use your patience when you're on the road. Whether it's prom season, whether it's snowing outside, whether, you know, it's raining outside, whatever it might be, just increase your patience to make sure that you get to where you're going. Leave a little bit earlier if you have to, but take your time and pay attention to what it is that you're doing when you're driving.
And like you said, the whole patience thing, you'd rather be a little bit late if that's the situation than to have a lifetime of regret.
Yeah, once you're late, you can't be any later. That's what I always tell people that I pull over for speeding or distracted driving, whatever the case may be. Once you're late, you can't be any later than late.
Interesting. I've got to remember that. Deputy Walter O'Neill here, Deputy Mike Powell, Second Lieutenant Lee Peters, and Bill Kennedy, all from the Stafford Sheriff's Office. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk with Ted on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook. Just search News Talk 1230 WFVA. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
Distracted driving, our main focus this morning with the Stafford Sheriff's Office, Bill Kennedy, Second Lieutenant Lee Peters, Deputies Mike Powell and Walter O'Neill here. And I can report that we've gone through this whole, pretty much this whole show, and there hasn't been any texting while talking during the show. So I appreciate that. So thank you for that. The couple of things before we wrap up here. Clicket or ticket was mentioned. Mike, you mentioned that a few minutes ago, and that's an emphasis in May, isn't it?
It is. It's May 18th through the 31st, where we're going to have extra patrol out, making sure that everyone has their seatbelts on. We'll be enforcing it very strictly, along with all other traffic violations, and we usually have a lot of extra deputies that are out that want to come out and work this to make sure that the roadways are safe. And it'll be publicized either by our message boards, through social media, on Twitter and Facebook, and there's also national spots that are run.
As much is made and as big a deal as wearing seatbelts, do most people, are more people wearing seatbelts than in the past, or how are we doing?
Yes, we have. In Stafford County, the last survey that I did last year for Clicket or Ticket, we actually won an award for having 95% compliance for wearing seatbelts. The state is down into the low 70s, and they're trying to get that up to a 78% this year.
But okay.
We definitely got the award for that, for having 95% compliance, and we're very proud of that.
Warmer weather, and Second Lieutenant Peters, you mentioned motorcycles a little bit earlier, and it's important to keep in mind that be watching out for motorcycles, because unfortunately, if you're on a motorcycle, you don't have quite as much protection around you as if you're in a car.
Right. May is actually Motorcycle Safety Month as well. And between the three of us, we all ride professionally and personally. So it's one of those things that we take very, very personally. And we just ask people to watch the motorcycles. And for the motorcycles, to ride responsibly. Make sure you got a DOT-approved helmet. Get your bikes inspected. Get the registration. Check the tires. Just make sure we're doing it appropriately and safely. And the sheriff's office, generally in May, we do something for the motorcyclists in the county, and we put together a day where we go out and we do some demos and get the motorcycles together, and we talk and we give some safety tips for them, because not only is it important for the people in the car to know the motorcycles are there, but for the motorcyclists to ride responsibly. So we're going to be doing some things for people on the bikes and get them out there and do a little bit of enforcement on them as well.
When you guys are out riding, how scary can it be at times? I'm sure you see some situations.
As a matter of fact, I'll share with you, Ted, I had an incident last year where a lady ran into the back of my motorcycle on a traffic stop. Fortunately, it was low speed, but I'm not sure what was going on with her that day. But I was on the traffic stop and looked up, and here comes her grill towards the back of my motorcycle. So she bumped it, didn't knock it down, didn't hurt anything too bad, but it is scary. Especially when you're on the motorcycle, because you don't have that protection with you.
As we've talked about distracted driving, I know one of the things over the in just recent years I've started to do way more than I ever did was when I am sitting at a light, looking at in the rearview mirror and seeing if a car behind me is actually slowing down. And a few times you worry because you're defenseless if you're sitting at a light like that.
Yeah, we respond to a lot of those types of crashes, those rear-end collisions. So it is important that you leave yourself that extra room when you're stopped at a light in from the car in front of you. So that way, if you do see that, you have some sort of room to react, whether it be to change lanes or whether it be to give yourself that few extra feet to allow that other driver to look up and pay attention, and you could avoid a collision that way.
Well, and we've talked a lot of good information here this morning on distracted driving and texting and not doing it and that kind of thing. But I think one of the things that I really will take away from the hour that we've spent is the move over law and how important that is for you guys, because you guys are out there. When you talked about the being able to feel the draft of the mirror coming by you. That's not good stuff, and it only takes a little bit to just slow down, and if you can move over.
Right. We just ask people to be aware what we're there, and it goes for our tow truck driver partners, our fire department partners, VDOT, all those people on the side of the road standing there in their orange vest holding flags and signs and things like that. Just we understand it's a busy time. We understand people have places to be. We get that, but again, there is nothing more important than a human life, and that's what we're trying to save. And we're trying to save our own as well. So the more we can get people to understand that we're humans and we want to go home, everybody out there wants to get back to their family, the better we are. And it just takes people taking a breath sometimes, moving over, slowing down, saying, I will get there when I get there. And one of the big things I say to people when I stop them is, let me ask you this quick question before I let you go. How much time did you save by meeting me today? And generally they've lost about 10 to 15 minutes that they may have gained by just doing the speed limit.
Second Lieutenant Lee Peters, Deputy Mike Powell, Deputy Walter O'Neill, and Bill Kennedy, all with the Stafford Sheriff's Office. Thank you for coming in. Great information. And thank you for all you do when you're out on the roads every day looking out for us. Thank you. Thank you very much,
guys. Thank you for having us, Dave.
That is it for Town Talk. Have a great weekend. See you Monday morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.